We're in Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to begin today in verse 12. Philippians chapter 2. Let's begin reading in verse 12, and we'll read through verse 15. Philippians 2 verse 12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Notice in verse 12 that Paul says something to begin this section by complimenting these brethren. He said in verse 12, "My beloved, as you have always obeyed." These were faithful people. They were obedient Christians. They obeyed the word, whether Paul was there or whether he was not. And Paul earlier in Philippians 1 said that this is what he wanted them to do, to be Christian people and to obey the word of God, whether he was with them or absent. And here he says that they had always been obedient people. This doesn't mean they were perfect, and there's an indication later in chapter 4 that there were two members that needed to straighten out a problem, but they were, in general, as a whole, obedient people. So Paul is giving a high compliment to these people. He didn't say this about the church at Corinth. When he wrote to the church at Corinth, there were many problems. And when Paul wrote the book of Galatians, which was delivered to different congregations in the region of Galatia, he certainly couldn't say what he says here. So this is a good congregation of God's people. And Paul says in verse 12, "As you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now let's focus for the next few minutes on what Paul says about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What does Paul mean by saying that we are to work out our own salvation? Well, let's begin with what he does not mean by this. Paul does not mean that you are to earn your own salvation. He doesn't say, "Work and earn your salvation," because that cannot be done. No man is so good that God owes him heaven. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20 says it very plainly. The Bible says, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." If a man is saved, he is saved by the grace of God. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. And as Christian people, we have to repent of our sins, we have to confess, and seek the forgiveness of God. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So Paul is not saying here that you are to earn your own salvation. He's also not saying that you are to figure out your own way of salvation, that you're to invent your own plan of salvation. Sometimes people say, "Well, that's my opinion and that's my religion. After all, Paul said, work out your own salvation, didn't he?" Well, Paul didn't say, "Work out your own way of salvation." Paul didn't say, "Well, you'll have to work that out among yourselves as to what you're to believe and how you're to live and the doctrine about the church and so forth." Sometimes people today say, "Well, I don't have to be baptized. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do all those things the New Testament says because I'm working out my own salvation. And after all, that's what Paul said." And some people will even abuse this verse about moral decisions. They will say something like this, "Well, Your opinion is one thing, and my judgment is another, and everybody decides for himself what's right and what's wrong. And so when it comes to moral decisions about behavior, about language, and about our actions before God, every man is to work out his own salvation, and so you have it your way and I'll have it mine. That is not what Paul is saying at all. He is not saying that you're to decide what your own way of salvation is. As a matter of fact, when you look at these words, it's obvious that Paul is not saying anything like that, because he says in the very beginning of the verse, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed," not figured out for yourself, not come up with on your own, but he's talking about obeying the word here. That's the kind of work that he's talking about. So what this verse does say is that we do have to give effort to be saved. We do have to work at our salvation. Notice the words obeyed and work. Now this shows that we have to do our part to be saved. And that's true from the very beginning of our conversion. The Bible says in Acts 2, verse 40, that Peter told the people on Pentecost Day who had asked him what to do to be saved, he said, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." The idea that salvation is all up to God and that there's nothing for us to do is wrong. The Bible says in Acts 9, verse 6, that Jesus told Saul of Tarsus, "Arise and go into the city, and there shall be told you what you must do." Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So we have to give our effort. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we are to be diligent about that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." Now, that is a good companion passage to what we're looking at here. Philippians 2, 12 says, "To work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 says, "To give diligence to make your calling and election sure." And so when Paul says, "Work out your own salvation," that means that every individual is responsible for his own actions. You can't work out somebody else's salvation. And nobody else can work out your salvation for you. It is up to you. So parents cannot work out their children's salvation. Children cannot work out their parents' salvation. This is how it will be at the judgment. The Bible says, "Every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God." Romans 14, verse 12. So work out your own salvation. It's up to you to pray. It is up to you to study. It is up to you to resist temptation. It is up to you to do the right things in life. It is up to you to bear burdens in life. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, "So then every man shall bear his own burden." So salvation is a personal and individual matter. And notice that he says in the last part of verse 12 that we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul several times uses that expression in the New Testament. He told the Corinthians that he was with them in fear and in much trembling. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3. He told servants to obey their masters with fear and trembling. Ephesians 6, verse 5. Now, all this means that we're to be in awe of God. We're to walk in the fear of God. We're to realize and remember that God knows our every thought. He knows our every word. He knows our every action at every moment of our lives. And so we're to work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling. But there's another aspect of this matter in verse 13, and that is God's side. You see, in verse 12, Paul says, "Work out your own salvation." That's our responsibility. That is the Christian's duty. That's the Christian side in this matter. Work out your own salvation. But you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it on your own. Because the Bible says in verse 13, "For it is God which works in you." That's God's side in this matter of salvation. God, he says, works in you as a Christian both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, the Bible teaches us, of course, that God works in this world. But this passage does not say that God works around you as a Christian, although that's true, God is working in the world around you. And He doesn't say that God works above you, although that's true as well. He says that God works in you. God works in you as a Christian, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That is, God gives us strength to will. God gives us the encouragement and the comfort that we need. And He gives us the incentive to do His will. Now, how does God help in that way? Because we know that God is not going to do everything for us. Just as we know that in verse 12, we can't do everything on our own without God. So the Bible teaches us that we must do our part, and God is certainly going to do His part. Now, how does God do that? Well, He's certainly given us His Word, and we get the comfort and the motivation and the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom and so many other aspects that we need in our Christian life and walk from the Bible. But the Bible also teaches us that God gives Christians the Holy Spirit. When we're baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, verse 38. And the Scriptures teach that the Holy Spirit strengthens the inner man. Ephesians 3, verse 16, and in Romans 8, verse 28, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities or weaknesses and makes intercession for Christians, especially when Christians are down and troubled. And the Bible also teaches, of course, that God hears and answers prayer. God works in His providence in this life. So God works in Christian people both to do and to will of His good pleasure. Now, in verse 14 and 15, Paul gives another very needed and very important exhortation. He says in verse 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." The New King James translates, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." Now, we find throughout the Bible that God's people have many times had a problem with complaining, with murmuring. For instance, back in the Old Testament, you find that the Israelite people oftentimes complained. They complained about their food. They complained about their environment. They complained about their situation. And to this very day, you find that sadly, some Christians complain. Paul said, don't do that. Do your duty as a Christian. Work out your own salvation without complaining, without bickering, without quarreling with each other. And the reason that he said that that is so important is what he tells us in verse 15. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings, that is, complaining and disputings. Verse 15, that is, in order that, or so that, you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Paul said the reason that you don't need to complain is so that you can be the best Christian example that you can be. You see, oftentimes when we think of setting the right example before non-believers, we think of doing the right thing or saying the right thing, and that is necessary. But here Paul says that we need to have a good attitude. We need to have a good disposition. We don't need to complain, and we don't need to quarrel, because that will hurt our influence. We need to be content, and we need to be thankful as we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling.